yours?
Yours is dead.
Use this one.
Here you go.
All right. It is 7:05 on Wednesday, March 22nd, 2023. I'd like to thank you all for joining us here for the meeting of the mayor and council of the Township of Clinton. I apologize for the delay. We're without our clerk this evening, so we're making do. Let me do this. I'm not used to doing this without having somebody to say, Madam Clerk, have we met all the requirements of the Open Public Meetings Act? How would you like me to handle that?
I can just simply read this on time.
If you wouldn't mind?
Yeah. So, all of the laws of the governing the Open Public Meetings Act have been met. Adequate notice of this meeting has been provided in accordance with the requirements of the Open Public Meetings Act. A copy of the agenda was sent to the Huntington County Democrat. It was posted on the bulletin board in the municipal building on March 20th, 2023. And it was made available to the public for download on the township's website prior to tonight's meeting.
Thank you very much. I'd like to invite you all to join us for a salute to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, I would ask that... would you please call the roll?
Yeah. Ms.
Cecil?
Here.
Councilman Kochanowski?
Here.
Councilwoman Swetlik?
Here.
Mayor
Malay.
Here. And for the record, Mr. Strauss, please pass.
Thank you very much. All right, we will begin this evening with comments from the public. We typically limit it to items listed only on the agenda, but if seeing that there's a bit of a crowd, if you'd like to come speak about anything at all, please feel free to come up and do so.
Can I hand out something?
Sure.
I think I saw that on Facebook.
Oh, really?
No.
I did not.
But actually, it's a nice visual.
This I saw one.
Yeah.
I've got a better
one.
I've got a better one.
Hopefully, it's less.
No, I don't have a new building on it, but I do have a better one.
Thank you so much.
So I don't know about the formalities of...
Please, just state your name.
Okay.
And the municipality that you live on. You live in. That's all.
Mike Gamble, Michael Amberger, and Clinton Township. So a bunch of us are here, and I think it's probably easy to just focus on the math a little bit. But we're here because we have some concerns about the amount of development in our area specifically. Obviously, everyone's about their own area. But, we have a lot of concerns. Noise pollution, light pollution, everything else that's going on. But one of the more pressing concerns that we have is the potential for increased traffic through our development. I think our development is unique in a good way because we have a disproportionate amount of people that use the development for walking, biking. Other people from other areas come to our area to walk because it's a quiet area. You can walk without, for the most part, getting killed by a car. Halloween, tens, if not 50 other families come to our area to walk because it's safe.
Did you say which development you're in?
I'll tell you, yeah, well, it's right in the middle.
Oh, so okay, that one, okay.
Everyone that's here with me today,
Riverbend area.
You look sort of the center. If you looked at sort of a figure eight sideways, mm-hmm. you have Riverbend, Melody Lane, and then the circle of Riverbend. And when you take a look at this map, you can see all of these yellow boxes represent a new building in the area.
Mm-hmm.
At a minimum, it's going to add hundreds of new residents within a half a mile of where we are. 31 is already brutally congested. Rush hour traffic. We already have people that try to beat that traffic by coming through Mobis and blasting through our neighborhood at 50 miles an hour. We've all seen it. We can all testify to that.
And they come off of 31 onto Mobis, or they're coming off?
Yeah, because, they're not too bright because they come by me, and it's not the most direct route
not
to get
really.
To Grey Rock. But the point is, I think, that it's unusual for the development. Most kids these days are in their house playing video games. Our kids aren't. I don't think most people would expect to see the number of people on the road. So now you have a situation with people that aren't familiar with the area, blasting through the area, trying to make up time, come through a quiet area. It's only going to get worse, and our concern is that some kid is going to get hit eventually.
Yeah.
If you look at our development, I also think it's unique because when you look at the composition, the vast, I don't know the exact numbers, but I'll be happy to get it, the vast majority of the houses have kids that are under 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I would guess that probably close to 90% have kids that are high school age or younger. So I just can't picture this being a good thing for us, all this development. You got the warehouse, among others, the affordable housing that's going up. And by closing Movis, I think it'll cost the town next to nothing. I don't think it'll be significant negative impact to anyone outside the area.
I'm gonna cut you off. Yeah. So that was why I said before I've got a better map.
Yeah.
We've been working over the last year plus since we heard about the warehouse going in, because that actually concerns me the most. I can't imagine that trucks and cars, people who work there, aren't going to think that it's easier to go up 31 than it is to go back through Riverbend to get on to 78, particularly going west, because otherwise you got to go north, turn around, come back. So we've been working with the township engineer. They've drafted up a couple different versions of a closure plan for that road for Movis. We've had conversations with the DOT to make sure that everything we were doing will comply with their requirements, because it does connect to the highway.
Mm-hmm.
We've also had conversations with the town of Clinton, because part of that roadway is in Clinton Town.
Okay.
Right.
Do you know where that kind of line is?
It's actually not far off from where the arrow is.
Okay, so we can
go then. Pretty close. It's a little bit more complicated than that, but I think we've got a good plan going forward. It's pretty close to being ready to be brought to the public.
Okay.
I just needed to find a good time, because I'd really like to advertise it. I know you all feel very strongly, and I'm glad to see that it's a large group. We knew there were a few folks who were worried about it, weren't sure how large the group was, and before we go forward with closing a road, I wanted to make sure that we had some opportunity to advertise that we'll be having that discussion first, and then the process is going to be we'll introduce an ordinance, and that ordinance will have a period of time where it sits, and then we'll have a public hearing. So I would expect probably April, May, we'll get that started. Probably.
I think probably closer to May, maybe,
right,
given we still have some comment from DOT.
Fair enough.
One of the questions that we had, again, none of us are experts in this, but one of the questions that we had was, as these other developments are progressing, is it important that we get this closed before there are any assumptions built into their plans?
So actually, it doesn't matter for planning other than for public safety, for fire.
Okay.
Fire is the one that the town raised an issue on, which is, I think, the councilman had a good suggestion for addressing that. There are, on that road, stormwater management, stormwater drains and pipes. So there's infrastructure there for both stormwater water, I think, too, and probably sewer. So all of that has to remain. The idea would be that we would, while grassing it over, put down drivable pavers so that emergency vehicles can and other equipment can get on it.
Mm-hmm.
We did have a plan for, and this is where I think we're going to have to tweak it, for essentially a guardrail at the end of that coming in from the highway so that it was a dead stop. But we may have to put a gate in so that fire engines, if there's an incident at the warehouse or if it ever gets built or at the hotel, that emergency vehicles can come in through the neighborhood and get to it and not be obstructed.
Which I don't want to speak for the group again, but I think that just the conversation that I've had, I don't, all of that other stuff is nice, but I think the bottom line, as long as it gets closed
right,
I think we'll be happy. In other words, if the pavers and all that other secondary is a stumbling block, we're not too concerned about it.
And I'm not concerned about it being a huge impediment.
The expense or whatnot might be an impediment, and if it is, then we don't care about that.
The expenses, I'm not worried about the expense on this too much. I think it's a pretty simple project. It's just some of the bureaucratic administrative hurdles that we've got to go through to get it done. And like I said, I want to make sure that everybody has a chance to weigh in and absorb it before we just go ahead and close it.
Okay. And again, if you know, we have about 10 people, I'm pretty confident.
It's pretty good.
We have 50 next time.
Yep.
If you wanted, it was just kind of short notice. So
when we have a public hearing, for
yeah.
sure, I would definitely want you all here at the public hearing, because the more, even just getting it on the record that the community is in support,
yep.
it makes it easier down the road if somebody
says,
why'd you do that?
We literally spoke to 90% of the community, not one person.
Objected.
I can't imagine.
Every single person
in
the media said absolutely.
I live there, I want to close.
Well,
when
the businesses on Locust may have objections.
It's a dentist.
My
dentist is
there.
It's
easy. The dentist I don't worry about. I mean, we would not.
No, that practice is a lot smaller.
We would probably not have permitted a warehouse at all.
It's not our land.
But it's not our property.
Well, Lake Council was ahead of the game on this one.
Yeah, or, no, this is a long bit.
Looking at the hour, I'm like, wait a minute.
This is familiar?
Yeah.
So, unless there was other questions
nope.
for me, that's all I had. I don't know if anybody else wants to talk.
We're in the same
day. It's moving. Feel free to push every once in a while. My email's on the website.
Okay. All right.
I have my cell phone number. It's pretty easy. So.
I appreciate it.
Would you like these back in case?
No, I don't want. I mean, unless you want me to destroy it, that makes no difference.
No, no, it's
okay.
You don't have anybody's address listed, right? Who lives
no.
where? All right. Thank you very much. Anybody else wish to come forward? Don't be shy. Just name and town. I think that's all we're doing, right? Name and town.
Spencer Richardson, Clinton. I just had a general question to add on to Mike. Just I grew up here, like I'm sure a lot of people here in Clinton. I grew up in Tewksbury.
Clinton or Clinton Township?
Clinton Township.
Okay.
My apologies.
Yep, that's fine.
To be clear. And with so I grew up in Tewksbury, born and bred, and then I moved to Clinton with my wife. Mm-hmm. We have three small kids, and in Harvest Court, in
okay.
River Brent. But I've seen, like most people that came out here, they came out here because of the scenery and the farmland, everything beautiful. I've seen what 22 has become. I've seen, unfortunately, what Branchburg has become, and I'm very fearful that Clinton's on its way. I was just curious your thoughts on all of, I understand infrastructure is a good thing to a degree, and certainly we don't want to oppose people from having housing, but you're seeing more and more housing developments out in Clinton, and it's
yeah, and so what that's
crazy.
Most of that is driven, most, not all, but most, is driven by state-mandated affordable housing requirements that each municipality has to meet. For example, we put in Clinton Township, and our number is actually pretty good compared to others, to be fair. We constructed the apartments on Beaver Ave and now the ones that are down by the high school. Those combined 140-ish units satisfied what we were supposed to have constructed by 1999 with a little bit extra to go forward. We're going to find that we'll be limited in what gets built based on available sewer and water. There is a project for between 90-some units and 145, yeah, it's on this map here where the Brighton Financial is. So that'll help to solve the rest after that, and the Headley project and Alton Place, which is in the Beaverbrook development, we'll just have to see. But we do have a lot of preserved open space, a lot of preserved farmland in the town, which is really good.
42% of the township is preserved yeah. the space here. So
that's a big number.
We've tried to be as proactive.
Going
so back,
of that, of course.
I think
it's probably Annandale that's there's new housing going up in Annandale, so it just seems like it's a little bit more. Than it is, but
and unfortunately, it tends to go where the sewer and water is, and that's the corner of the town where the sewer and the water is.
Okay.
I think a lot of it also. I think a lot of we were behind, just like you said.
Yep.
Everyone was pretty much behind, and everybody's playing catch up, and it's happening very quickly. And I grew up in Highbridge, graduated from Voorhees. I'm very upset about, I believe me, I feel it. And when you're looking at this, like the map that you have here, you have the affordable housing, Brighton Financial, and then you got the town of Clinton. Franklin Township, I think, is going to be near the Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah,
so
probably.
Got that.
Again,
so,
sewer and water. So,
well, it's you know, town of Clinton is going to be affected already by the Walmart.
Right,
traffic. Franklin Township's getting the revenue for that, and then they're going to show the affordable housing there. You know, we have the Headley. Lebanon Borough, I think they're going to be over at Marriott, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, it's not just Clinton Township, but
it's a lot of growth.
And it's very upsetting, and I completely understand.
But to put it in perspective, and it's good that we're in the Highlands, because
yes, it
does help us a little bit, actually quite a bit. Our number for affordable housing for this last round was 337 units, I think, 336, something around that. In terms of how many affordable housing units we had to produce, Reddington's was 1,000, and they have, you know, we're able to do a lot of 100% affordable units. We're fortunate that we were successful in doing those. If you don't do those, you have to do, essentially, for every one affordable, you have to build 4 market rate units. So the overall housing stock is exponential. If you're doing a, what would you call, mixed income development. So we've limited the overall impact to the town, essentially, by doing as much as we could.
Okay. Well, thank you.
To minimize the number, total number of units.
I wasn't trying to go there.
No, it's fine.
I've seen, you know, it just continues to add on, and the next thing you know, you're not a rural town anymore. You're the suburbs. So.
Sure.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Come on down.
Craig Naylor, Sand Hill. Oh, Clinton. Out of here.
Perfect.
Just as a question, once you have something as open space or farmland assessment, can that get reversed by the affordable housing?
Preserved open space? No.
Farmland assessment.
Farmland.
Farmland assessment is different than preserved farmland.
Yeah.
Preserved farmland, that's a permanent easement. Really can't be reversed. Farmland assessment is a person taking
the tax
worth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've about 1,000 acres of preserved farmland in the township. That really can't be reversed.
Right, that'll stay
preserved.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, how about where it gets turned over to like a park? Is that open space that where the public can use it?
Which?
Like on Sand Hill Road.
Brace Hill.
Yeah, yeah.
That's preserved open space. You can hike there. There's trails.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Is that town property?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe that was purchased from Exxon
some years
back.
That can't be taken away from the town and say, hey, we want to put housing.
Yeah.
Once it's deeded or whatever, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. How is that purchased? Is that like, hey, we want, the town wants to purchase another section for development, the town would have to apply for it?
Well, the town collects an open space tax, which is now lower than it used to be. And the open space committee, historically, I mean, unfortunately, up until this year, actually, most of the revenue generated by that open space tax went to pay debt for prior open space acquisition.
Yeah. Right.
Now we're going to have a little bit more leeway, a little bit more room, and the Open Space Committee is looking at other additional properties that make some sense to acquire and own as opposed to put into preserved farmland, which is also another nice route to go because then it stays on the tax roll somewhat and is being put to good use. Right. The liability is not with us. So that is a definite route that is available to us. And Green Acres, the state, they'll contribute some. The county will contribute some for certain acquisition as well.
So we're always on that committee to try and get funding to keep that active. It's not like...
Well, our funding comes from the tax.
We purchased...
Well, our portion comes from the tax. But the state does the money, the county has money.
The state gives money,
They do. I mean, you have to apply for those funds, and there's conditions attached.
Yeah.
And they're competitive.
It's a competitive process. You're in with other communities, other areas. You collect a tax. You can use that for your own purposes, but depending on the cost of the parcel you may be looking at, you may need to apply for those additional funds
Well, within the last 5 years, the township acquired what's called the Cowfelt property, which is adjacent to the Marukian property. It's right across the highway. It goes from about All Trades all the way down to Allerton Road on that side of the highway. Right. And that was $2 million.
Right. With Green Acres funding, of course, too.
With some Green Acres funding and county funding.
Matching funds.
Right.
There's a lot of different models. But once preserved, it's pretty much preserved.
That's good.
Yeah.
So you can hold that
open preserved acres.
By targeted areas to try to preserve it as much as you
right.
can.
And by Councilman Glazer's math, 42% of the township is
8,000 acres. A lot of the state owns a lot between Round on the Spruce Mountain, of course. So they have a lot, but the county has parcels too. The Arboretum down there is a pretty big parcel.
Echo Hill. We've
got some large
parcels. Echo Hill.
Windy Acres is big. Marukia and Cowfelt, Bun Park.
Yes.
What happens, of course, is the open space sometimes is like not seen, I'm going to say, that one parcel up on Sunrise, Hackett's Preserve.
Hackett's Preserve, yeah.
A lot of people don't really know that that's there.
Well, it's sort of an
it's not on Route 31, so it's not quite as visible.
Yeah. Right.
So.
If you ever want to see all our open space properties, the trail maps, a little history on each one, go on our website under Open Space Committee. We have every parcel listed. We also have the county ones listed mm-hmm. there, Clinton Township, the Arboretum, Echo Hill.
Yes,
any kind of information you want is going to be there, and if not, you can reach out. I'm on the open space.
Yeah, no.
As well. So you can reach
you're doing
out
a great job.
Oh, thank you.
I know you're doing the cleanups and everything.
Oh, lots the other of cleanups, a lot of litter cleanups.
That's great. I'll come visit.
Oh, well, good. I have dates of all the litter cleanups, so
okay.
I'll hold you to it.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thank
you much. Anyone else?
I'm Chris Bettenhausen. I'm on Woodsedge Court in Clinton Township. I actually spoke to you, Mr. Mayor, about, I think it was a couple years ago, about the property that's going up my backyard, the warehouse.
Ah, yes.
Yes. So we're all thinking about that, obviously. I just wanted to know if there's an update on that, first of all.
I've heard nothing on it.
Town of Clinton.
Town of Clinton.
The last thing I heard, literally, was that a councilman recently. They're proceeding with getting a TWA for the help of the sewage from the site. That's all we know. It's a town of Clinton matter, so they don't keep us so informed. I just have to hear that at a meeting.
It's not unheard of for projects to get shelved after a period of time. I'm personally keeping my fingers crossed. But the mayor of the town had last told me that it was still going ahead, but I haven't seen any movement or heard anything.
I didn't see the sign still says it's for sale, so I was like, it's a little confused. Like, is it for sale? Is it not for sale? Or
could be an option, too. Something might
have
an option.
Even though you don't live in Clinton, you can still go to their meetings and ask questions.
Yeah.
Oh, I have.
Yeah, okay.
I had a whole speech, and they basically didn't listen to me. So.
Good.
Unfortunately, yeah, it is what it is. I was just curious if there was an update on that. And then the other question I have was just related to all the affordable housing that's going in, as well as new buildings and everything, will there be any effect on our property taxes or any other benefits or negatives to that we can be?
So there will be taxes coming out of the new one that will be up on 31 north or just south of the Wellness Center. My intent is that not be there will be a pilot payment, that it not just come to us but be spread out also to the schools so that it spreads the wealth a little bit, because when we collect taxes, we collect for all the different entities, the schools, the county, all of it. The township takes 15-16%, and the rest goes to probably 70% goes to the school, the other 15 goes to the county. So I would expect there'll be a little bit from that, and then if there's any commercial development, then yeah, absolutely, that would be an increase in the rateable base.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you. Thank you. All right. Anyone else? Okay, not seeing any movement. We'll close the first public comment session, and we'll move on to the consent agenda. All items listed with an asterisk are considered to be routine by the township mayor and council and will be enacted by a single motion. There will not be separate discussion of these items unless requested by the mayor, a council member, or a citizen, in which event the item will be removed from the general order of business and considered in its normal sequence on the agenda. Does anyone on the council have any items from the consent agenda they'd like to pull?
Nope.
Nope. Very good. Anyone from the public have anything they'd like us to discuss separately? Seeing no movement, may I have a motion for the consent agenda?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Councilman Blazer?
Yes.
Councilman Pachanowski?
Yes.
Councilwoman Swetman?
Yes.
Mayor Malay?
Yes. We'll move to reports. Councilman Glazer, yours might be short.
It will be short. Planning board, we had a regular meeting on this past Monday. It was short and uneventful. We were essentially meeting to formally adopt a pretty complicated resolution for a matter passed actually last year. It has to do with the under siding application on 31. They're expanding the lot south, and that was an old ramshackle rundown parcel, so it'll improve that little stretch of the highway. But not, it was complicated. Next meeting will be Monday, April 3rd. Sewage Authority, no action. Their next meeting will be Thursday, April 8th, I think it is. So maybe the 1st. Finance meeting, we'll talk much more later, because Councilman Kochanowski met with the CFO, the administrator down on the budget, which we're introducing next night. Christine and Bill have done yeoman's work on that. They need to be applauded. It's a very good cycle, a lot of hard work. We'll discuss it more later, but there are a lot of mandatory increases we need to deal with state pensions, state health, some contractual issues, all the other priorities we have as a township. And I think we will squeeze them all into a good budget. There's obviously an increase because we're in a world of inflation. And so we'll talk about that more. But again, I applaud Bill and Christine for the hard work on that. And then once our agenda allows, and I'm thinking we might be slipping to April, given all the start of May, with all the stuff we have, we will schedule that work session with Ken's
guy
who's interested.
For April?
Well, we'll see
what we have.
Good, yeah. Yeah, right? Because I can't do the end of it.
Taking the calendar, so yeah. Right, he controls you down, doesn't it?
I really want to participate again.
Well, April's going to be booked with the adoption of the budget. And
we've got some planning event, planning burdens, probably May.
Yeah, because we've got to do the Route 31 update.
Thank you.
Very good. Councilman Kochanowski.
I have nothing to add about Bill's comments on the budget. And as far as the high school, most of the kids are graduating on June 14th. I'll leave it at that.
Councilwoman Swetnick.
Okay. The Environmental Commission, Green Team, I'll just sort of do it together. I don't want to repeat my report from last year, because it's all the dates and all the events. I think we all pretty much are on the same page.
Go see the website.
Right. Well, I decided to add a couple more events.
Okay.
But at any rate, for the Green Team, their first educational walk was last Sunday. Was it Sunday before? Two Sundays ago at Windy Acres. So Deborah from the county was there. She did a really nice job. We had too many people. The limit was 20, and we had 23, but I didn't know how to handle it. Some teachers reached out to Mario in regard to them having some grant money. I think it was some kind of environmental or climate type thing where they need to, you know how grants are, they needed to spend it by the end of June. So they came up to Woody Acres to get some ideas on finally getting a class trip up there. So it's going to be a sixth grade class. They were there. They were looking at different ideas. So I think it's going to be May 24th, which is a Wednesday. It'll be like a class trip from 9 to 1. I'll be there, and I think they're trying to get Deborah to do it again, to do the same basically what we did and then plus have something from their curriculum. So I'm excited about that.
What is the bald eagle up there?
I've been at Winnie Acres for 3 years straight working, and we saw a bald eagle there finally. So I'm excited about that. I think with logistics, they're going to be using some of their grant money for, you know, busing and things like that. I'll check with Tom for porta potties and all that. I think we're set to go. So I'm excited about that. Our next educational walk is May 13th. That's the birding for beginners that I'm really jazzed about. So, open space is tomorrow, our committee meeting. I have asked, Matt LaCourte, who designed the disc golf course over there, and then if we could do another clinic. Because when we had the clinic in the fall, there was this big North Hunterdon football game, and there was, like, us cutting a ribbon by ourselves. So, plus, I think a lot of people coming out. He has discs, he has baskets, he sets them up, he shows you how to do it. So I'm looking for maybe May 20th. And then I asked Mike McHugh. We had done a walk over at Beaverbrook, the historic walk with the furnace. I am asking him, I think maybe June 17th we might do another historic walk there, because that was really popular. Trying to think. Oh, and the other thing is I'm going to ask to go ahead and expand the Braves. We're just talking about Braves. The wood portion is not, there's not, there aren't any trails in the woods. It's just the perimeter trails, so I think this year I'd like to, it's not that extensive, but utilize the woods. The woods are very healthy. There's probably deer tracks we could just use as the trail guide us through, but, and we need markings over there. There aren't really any trail markers over there, so, that's it.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
Seemed like plenty.
It is.
All right.
Oh, wait.
Oh.
They had a meeting over at North Hunterdon today, the Green Acres, the Green
Team,
the Pollinator Garden. I was not able to attend, but they're finding a location over there to the Pollinator Garden. Okay, now I'm done.
Now you're done?
Yes, sorry.
Very good. All right. We'll move on to Council President Strauss, who's not in attendance tonight, but did send me his report on the BOE for the town. He had, or the township's local district. He has nothing new to report. The Historic Preservation Commission's next meeting is Wednesday, April 5th at 7 p.m. They still have a vacancy for a Class A seat, so that's, if anyone's interested in the Historic Commission, that's someone who has some type of experience or special knowledge in historic structures or construction or that sort of thing. So if anyone's interested, please send a note to any of us or to the or Council President Strauss. He's the liaison for them. Public safety, he's been in constant communication with Chief DeRosa, also with Annandale Fire Chief Emery. The ISO meeting with the Clinton Town Water Company, we've got to do some follow-up on that, because that came back not correct, in our opinion, and that may result in an increase in homeowner insurance, so we want to make sure that we rectify that. And that seems to have been tied to the capabilities of the town's water system. And we've got a meeting with Clinton Town officials that we've still got to schedule. And, of course, he's been speaking with the chief of the EMS about a number of different things and donations and what have you. And that is the extent of his brief report. And then on mine, I'll start with REC. REC had a meeting on Monday. The additional equipment to Bunt Park's playground has been added. It should be finished, I would think, in the next week or so when they finish putting the bumper. So they've done a little bit of an expansion there. They're reviewing the site and layouts and area for the playground that we will construct at Marukian, down the road from the high school. Summer REC is going gangbusters already. They've got 160 campers signed up. So they're looking for some staff. I think they have to be going into their sophomore year to be staff. The Easter event is going to be held April 8th, 10 a.m. at Bunt. I unfortunately will not be able to attend because I'll be away for Easter. But it's always a good event. Community Day, for those in the audience, is April 29th. There's a race in the morning, and Community Day starts at 2, runs till 7, I think. Race starts at 9. And then, last but not least, pickleball. They've got 100 people already signed up for pickleball classes.
It's classes. Fun.
Classes. That's just lessons. They've got 100 people signed. It's more than they anticipated. So they're having to add instructors. It is, just for the folks who might be interested, it's organized now in partnership with Courtside Racquet Club. So it's a nice public-private partnership that we've got going. The Rec Committee makes a little bit of money. Courtside pays their staff, and 100 people are going to get lessons, so it's great.
And to be clear, that's just lessons. The court's usage is first come, first serve.
Correct.
Because a lot of people are confused when I talk to them.
They're
like, oh, I have to take lessons to play here. I'm like, no.
And then on the personnel side, we've had two additions, which are on the agenda for this evening, for our administrative office that we've really needed to fill two vacancies. So I think those folks are going to work out really, really well and help to serve the residents who come to the clerk's office and need some assistance, and also help improve the efficiency of public works. So I'm looking forward to that. And that's that. All right. We will now move on to resolutions. The first being a resolution authorizing the hiring of a seasonal confidential administrative office clerk to the administrator for the Township of Clinton, one of the aforementioned positions that we're filling. Anybody have any comments or questions on council?
No.
If not, may I have a motion?
I'll move.
May I have a second?
Second.
Roll call, please.
Councilman Blazer?
Yes.
Councilman Kochanowski?
Yes.
Councilwoman Switley?
Yes.
Mayor Miller?
Yes. Now we have a resolution authorizing the hiring and appointment of a confidential administrative assistant to the administrator and clerk for the Township of Clinton. So this is another office person. This will be replacing the person who just left. Yep. So if nobody has an objection, I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Roll call, please.
Councilman Blazer?
Yes.
Councilman Kochanowski?
Yes.
Councilwoman Sutton?
Yes.
Mayor Miller?
Yes. We now have a resolution canceling unspent grant balances. And we have our CFO in attendance, so she can correct me if I'm wrong in that this is just, we had grants, we had expenditures against those grants. There were very minimal amounts that were left over. We're obviously not going to spend 8 cents, $20, whatever, out of those grants for their intended purposes, whether it be for body armor or cameras or whatever it is. So we're just going to cancel what is remaining. Is that correct?
Correct.
Thank you. Absolutely. Thank you. May I have a second?
Second.
Roll call, please.
Councilman Blazer?
Yes.
Councilman Kochanowski?
Yes.
Councilwoman Switland?
Yes.
Mayor Miller?
Yes. Next, we have payment of the bills. We have the vouchers and the invoices and all that fun stuff, including payments to school boards and counties
debt,
and
some normal stuff.
Yeah, principal and interest.
I'll make the motion.
All right. Second. Thank you. Roll call.
Councilman Blazer?
Yes.
Councilman Kochanowski?
Yes.
Councilwoman Sutton?
Yes.
Mayor Miller?
Yes. Now we have the introduction of an ordinance to exceed the municipal budget appropriation limits and to establish a cap bank for NJSA 40A:4-45.14 for the calendar year 2013. This is an annual ordinance that we typically adopt. It basically allows us to go up to the appropriations limit, and anything that we don't use in that appropriations limit, we can carry forward for the next 2 years and not spend or carry it forward and accumulate it.
This is municipal housekeeping.
Yep. Did I get that correct? Am I good? I have a motion. May I have a second?
Second.
Roll call, please.
Councilman Blazer?
Yes.
Councilman Kochanowski?
Yes.
Councilman Switland?
Yes.
Mayor Miller?
Yes. Okay. Next. Oh, and you know what? For that ordinance, I would ask to set the public hearing for April the 26th without objection. So recorded. So the public hearing for that cap bank ordinance will be April 26th. All right, next we have the introduction of the Township of Clinton in Hunterdon County, New Jersey, amending Part 2 General Legislation of the Code of the Township of Clinton to establish permitting and other requirements for special events. We discussed this at some length at a prior council meeting. We've got a number of events that happen in the township probably without correct approvals and zoning, and this will establish a process by which those events can be reviewed, particularly for public safety, by the police chief, by all the departments in the municipal offices, construction, building codes, all of it, fire safety, to ensure that all these events are happening in a safe manner and make adjustments or deny them or however. We also discussed block parties and having a reduced fee for those. So I think we've inserted some language for nonprofits and block parties, because you've got nonprofits such as the Immaculate Conception Church that has their big festival every year. They runs pretty well, runs pretty smoothly. Not really fair, in my opinion, to charge them $100 for what they've been doing, but it is good to have us put a set of eyes on it, I think.
Yeah. Gives us some structure around special events.
Right. So have you had any comments? I know you had some concerns.
Well, I was just concerned about, like, block parties and charging them $100.
Yeah, so we've knocked that down to
right.
50.
Yeah, I'm better with that. Thank you.
Yeah, I think the changes you talked about were good. I had a few little groups.
Yep, please.
Should I talk through those today?
So one was just merit language in one of the paragraphs. There was a cut and paste thing in 6A. There was a title change to two of the clauses, like moving the insurance one up from 5 to 6 or something like that.
Yeah, and I had meant to actually make that change even before it went out. And
if I could tell the clause was added later.
It was on the list of, like, don't forget to go back and do that. And
I did note that we're exempting Clinton Township School District. I'm wondering, should we be exempting the North?
I think so.
As well? Yeah. School's a school, yep. Right? Yeah, so I think I would propose that we amend the ordinance to say Clinton Township School District and North 140 School District. And I did have a question on that exemption. So we're exempting schools and the volunteer organizations. Strictly, do we need that exemption to apply when they're doing events on their properties, or would they be exempt if they decided to do it on someone else's property? I mean, in my mind, their properties is fair game. I might have a different view. I don't know when they do it elsewhere. Now it's just, but
this is not, I mean, the way it's currently phrased is not limited to being on their own property.
That's my point.
I'm okay with limiting it to their own property, if that's where you're at.
I think that's where they mostly do their things. If they weren't doing it there, I'd kind of maybe want a license advice. It's a personal preference. I'm just.
So in terms of on their own property, that would be limited just to the emergency volunteer services or also.
Or the school properties. Yeah, sure. So, I mean, CTSD could do it at, or not say at one of their four schools. Fine. Course. And one of the sections, the ordinance consistently speaks to the chief of police being the individual making decisions and giving advice. There's one section that talks about the Clinton Township Police Department. I thought maybe just for consistency, we should always mention the chief.
Yeah.
Make it an individual as a department instead of an issue manager.
Yes, absolutely. No, that's just putting up for consistency.
Yeah. And then there was one point, I know it's meant to be clear, but in 5B3, it talks about the property, but we didn't specify it's the property where the event is taking place. This is where their taxes have to be up to date, no outstanding fine. I think we mean the property where it's taking place. We don't mean the property of a person who happens to be hosting it, I don't think. We could reference back to 4E9 if we wanted to, where earlier we asked for that information. I mean, none of these are substantive changes, by the way. They're just more.
Well, and at this point, nothing's been introduced. So.
Oh.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. And if we have to make further changes of that kind of nature at adoption, that's an easy thing.
Yeah. None of these are sufficiently extensive.
And then the final one, it's the process question. In a special event, if they need an off-duty officer, we already have a process we use for that. This will just follow that process, I think, right? It talks about it, but it's not.
There's already a process in your chapter that on the police department.
Okay.
Provisions
Nothing new. It's not like new escrow agreements and crazy stuff.
No, nothing like that. No, right. This would follow the normal process.
Good. it's a good ordinance now. Mm-hmm. And I think the changes made were important.
And for the benefit of the public, there are other municipalities that have ordinances like this to some different degrees where the council approves all the different permit applications. We felt that was a bit cumbersome and time-consuming, and if it didn't fall in the right schedule, it could really jeopardize an event. There are other towns that seem to have a process with a form and do a council approval but don't seem to have an ordinance, so it's a bit of a mishmash. So we've tried to streamline this but also provide some barriers and guidelines so we don't have out of control events.
Right. That's the concern.
Yeah.
And I think it also clarifies on the zoning end whether you're even allowed to have these in certain parts of town.
Right.
It also removes some uncertainty that in the year you're supposed to agree with.
All right. If that's good with everyone up here, I would ask someone to make a motion to introduce as amended.
I will make that motion.
I'll second it.
Roll call.
Councilman Glazer?
Yes.
Councilman Kachanowski?
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlick?
Yes.
And Mayor Malay?
Yes. And same as the prior, let's set the public hearing for this ordinance for the 5th of April.
So, very nice meeting.
Mm-hmm. And if, for some reason, our clerk is not able to notice it sufficiently in time, are we able to carry it, so to speak?
Yes, but I can't imagine there would be a problem. We didn't notice in time.
I don't. When does Clerk Connor return?
Friday.
Let's make it the 26th. That's just to be safe. It's not going to kill us. So, without objection, the April 26th?
Of course.
Excellent. Very good. The last item on our docket this evening, besides a public comment session, is the introduction of our municipal budget, our annual budget this year. It's definitely a difficult year from certain aspects, from an expense point of view. Also, trying to manage a few different things. I think you'll see that appropriations may have gone up, but there's an offsetting revenue because we are now correctly showing some shared services, so that's going to impact the overall calculations. And I'd also point out that, as Councilman Glazer mentioned earlier, we've had a 14% increase in state pension costs and a 23% increase in state health benefits. The health benefit increase alone, $219,000. Maybe I pulled the wrong number, but it's a couple hundred thousand dollars. It is equal to, or actually it exceeds, 1 point of the tax rate. So that's a significant cost. I think it's a very responsible budget from what I've seen so far, and I would hand it off to Councilman Glazer and Kochanowski to speak a little bit about the details, the process. And we've got the administrator and the CFO here as well.
Top, I mean, certainly the administrator and CFO, if I get things wrong, which is probably likely, as a matter of fact. I think the headline we should jump to is the proposal is a 5.9% tax increase, 5.95% tax increase.
On the municipal portion of your taxes.
Exactly. The municipal portion of taxes is about 16% of your tax bill. There's another 1% for open space. So our portion, that small portion, on the average residence, which is about a $400,000 resident, that equates to $107 a year tax increase, or about $8 and something a month. It's not trivial. No increase is ever trivial. But in the age of 7, 8, 9% inflation, depending on how you count it, it depends on the day, and in light of these structural issues we're facing, the pension increase, the health care increase, there's very little we can do about that because we're operating as a municipality in the state of New Jersey. There's sort of assessments from the state. We're also dealing with things like, inflation like everyone else. I think we budgeted a 14% increase in gas fees. So all of these things add up. So just to maybe I should back up. That 5% increase actually raises an extra about $500,000. So it sounds like it's a huge amount of money, and it is a lot of money, but we have a municipal tax is about $10 million, so we're increasing that. But I think it's kind of important to look for growth globally. 2022, thanks to a lot of hard work from the staff and township, ended with an increase in the surplus from a little over $2 million to about $2.8 million. Super, super important for our municipality. Years ago, we had no fund balance, literally, like almost zero. So this is really important to overrun the municipality responsibly. So we've made good progress on that. We need to continue making progress on that, and I think this budget reflects that importantly. Net debt at the township went down from $16.3 million to $14.3 million. Continue to whittle that away. The payments have gone down. I think it's about $1.4 million a year for, let's say, the next 10 years, but there's a debt schedule to follow. It ends up, although we're increasing by 5.95% due to the mysteries of municipal accounting and math, we're actually below what we could raise under the state law. So the Governor Christie's was down at the 2% tax increase, but there's all these caps and limits and this and that. In fact, we could have raised taxes a lot more. Of course, we chose not to do that because we don't just want to raise taxes for the sake of it. We want to responsibly raise them, and this budget does that. In fact, if we follow state law, we could have increased by another $781,000.
Yeah,
it would have been a 12% increase. It would have been obscene. As Brian mentioned, we're covering the health care, about $238,000, according to my math, $112,000 for the pension, gas for $50,000. We're doing the partial contribution to the ambulance to the emergency squad, which we committed to. I don't think we're getting that fully done.
I think the biggest single item, though, that we're investing in is capital. And it's something that we've been underinvested in and will allow us to do things like close MOBIS.
So our capital next year goes from $450,000 in 2022, which is a big increase from 2021, we're bringing it up to about $1.3 million. So you can see a 180% increase. That's important. We've been underestimating capital. So now we start putting away 1.3, hopefully get to 1.5 going forward. We can start doing our normal capital needs of equipment and all that, and start working on
roads.
Now, a point of reference, Councilman Blazer,
yes.
A mile of road costs about
$300,000. For a full rebuild, I think, was the
right.
Deal.
Right. That's just to educate everyone. That's important information, I think.
Yeah. We don't always have to do a full rebuild.
Right.
A lot of
them
we do because we've deferred on our roads for an awful long time. We all know. We all drive on these roads.
Yeah.
Some are very bumpy. And we've made good progress over the years, though. I mean, you know, I think the Gray Rock Road when it was done was a vast improvement.
Yeah.
We've done, not Herman Thal, the one right by you. Big road.
Petticoat.
We'll continue to whittle away at this, but we obviously need to fund the capital reserve to do that. This budget does that. So we're able to do that again. We have to accept an increase to improve the roads. They're certainly not free. There's some structural stuff. There are some new hires in the budget. The park foreman we talked about, which is so important. Some zoning enforcement, some part-timers.
The part of the foreman will come from open space.
Okay.
So, yeah, and a good chunk of the construction position will come from construction fees and zoning fees. So that's really not a...
They'll look at a headcount increase.
Right.
Maybe where it's funded from is sort of a conversation. Another, I think, very important point is, in this budget, what's called the surplus remaining is increasing to $1.7 million. That's up from $800,000, $900,000 last year, $500,000 the year before, virtually zero in the prior year. So this, Bill will correct me if I've just misdescribed this. I call this our township savings account to some degree.
It's a rainy day fund.
I think that's an accurate description.
And it's a number that sounds big, and it's not big enough for a township our size. So we will continue to work on this. It's a multi-year process. We've been trying to bring it up responsibly. We need to keep doing that to get to balance that allows the municipality to operate safely in tough times.
And I would imagine, as always is the case, the largest single expense we have is on our operating budget, the police department.
Yes, of course. Public safety.
Between pension and benefits and salary, probably close to $5 million.
Yeah.
What's the percentage? What's the percentage?
I'm sorry.
I would have to look. I'm going to put together. Typically, because I wasn't on the finance committee this year, I don't have it done yet. But I typically put together a budget presentation. It'll be up on the website.
Yeah. I mean,
there's all the breakdowns.
The way we're handling SROs changed and stuff like we just need to do a little work on that to get the exact.
A little different.
But it's a big concern for public safety is important. And then, of course, the fire department, we're lucky that our staff is volunteers, but we still pay for fire stations. We pay for fire trucks.
Maintenance.
We contribute ambulances to the first aid squad. So public safety is big.
Yep.
But then DPW comes after, and now hopefully money for roads.
Any items that the CFO or administrator wish to add?
Probably say that it's a public hearing, the majority, but I would agree with Councilman Blazer and your comments, Mayor. And, it's a responsible budget, I think. It's financially prudent. It's building a good foundation, as was identified in your remarks. Moving forward, it still allows for all the projects and services. The services you've been providing allows you to maintain them and hopefully expound upon them progressively. At the same time, undertake additional projects and replace, upgrade some of your equipment and do some roads, which is developing a plan now, which is something you've wanted to do for a long time. You've now financially built yourself to a point where you can begin to undertake those projects in a responsible fashion and still limit the amount of the increase to the public. I would note that your overall budget this year, your total budget, doing all those things and limiting it to the amount of the increase that's identified is done despite the fact that your total budget this year is almost $1 million less than it was last year due to the loss of state and federal funds through ARPA.
Yeah.
So it really, I think, accomplishes a great deal given all those factors.
Very good.
We wouldn't have gotten here without the hard work of Bill and Christine and the meetings they have involved with the department heads and everyone else. So thank you for your efforts on that. Really, really well done.
Were you about to say something?
Yeah, well, first I want to thank you both as well for working on this. I'm sure it was very difficult. So the 23% increase is for
health benefits.
Health benefits. Health benefits.
That's the state and health care plan.
Right. So that's across the board in New Jersey. So
well, anyone in that
plan, correct?
Right. Some of the stars aren't.
Okay. I'm just curious, and this is not really relevant to our budget, but I mean, so we're 16%. Did you say municipal tax is 60%? And our schools are about 70%.
Yeah.
So I mean, are they going to have to increase their budget?
So the state, I believe, pays the school's health benefits or their pension payments. Maybe it's the pension payment. So that's the 14% increase. So they'll have to absorb.
So I mean, because I'm just doing the math. I mean, we're not raising taxes on them; we're raising it on ourselves. And I'm looking at myself like, how much more?
I think has the local introduced its budget?
No, I think that's actually their next meeting, but. They also, unlike us, who had a little bit of reduction in state grants, I believe, and I might be mistaken, but I looked recently, the state aid to the high school district and the local district was up a little bit this year, which helped offset some of their pain. The township got no relief from health care. There's talk in Trenton of doing something, coulda, woulda, shoulda, maybe next year with conditions, and you know, when there's pixies and fairy dust, I believe it.
I think it's fair to say, had the health benefit and pension increase been, shall we say, a more standard 7-9%, the budget would look drastically different.
Or we would have more money for roads.
That's possible.
Yeah, that's the way I would look at it.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know what their budget looks like. Maybe they have savings elsewhere.
We won't know until they introduce
it.
Right. I'm just trying to look at the whole package.
I mean, they've got...
They've done it.
Compared
to us. But $440,000 a year is not enough for us to do hardly anything from a capital perspective. It's just
it helps.
A single fire engine, now we just spent $800,000 on a fire engine.
Yeah.
So
I should also mention that the administrator's behest, it does start to do some down payment on some older internal projects, which won't be so apparent to the public, like our records retention and digitization, and some like the important mechanics of running a municipality. So that is in here too. So it's not a light bulb, but it's not a Christmas tree budget. It's still pretty no frills, but we were able to add in some very important things we've been talking about for years.
Very good.
Thank you.
In that case, may I have a motion to introduce?
I will introduce. I will second it.
Roll call, please.
Councilman Blazer?
Yes.
Councilman Kuchinowski?
Yes.
Councilman Switzer?
Yes.
Mayor Malloy?
Yes. And then the public hearing for that will be April 26th. It'll be a busy day. And if you have any questions, comments, take a look at the budget documents on the website. They'll be posted. When will the documents
is there
be posted?
Is it going to be easier than this?
I'll do a presentation. I do my usual. I'll do the usual presentation.
Well, there's a user-friendly version.
I don't know that that's as user-friendly as it says it is.
Adoption.
Yeah, and it's not as user-friendly as it says it is.
We will try to get that presentation.
I'll do the presentation this weekend.
This document.
Right. Yeah.
But that'll be up when?
Within next 2 days.
Perfect. Very good. We now have our final public comment session. Anybody wish to come up and make a public comment? Not seeing anyone. No motion. So I will close public comment. And Mr. Glazer, you have something that you'd like to say?
I feel like I've been doing all the talking. I think motion is yours.
I'll second that.
Roll call, please. I hate that we have to roll call for this. We got to get that changed.
The statute says you have to have a roll call.
Yes.
No, it's absurd. I agree with you. Councilman Glazer.
Yes.
Councilman Kuchinowski.
Yes.
Councilman Lewis.
Yes.
Mayor Malloy.
Yes. All right. We're adjourned.
All right. Thank you all.
I got to make sure that we recorded the meeting properly.